It's time for JT the Brick.
The Warriors advanced like I expected them to.
And for the fifth consecutive year, the Golden State Warriors will go to the Western Conference Finals.
The only thing that I said before, I'll say it again, is that the Warriors have already won the NBA title. And they did it without Boogie Cousins and without Kevin Durant. Because the Warriors are a dynasty, where the dynasty will be 4 in 5 years.
Curry behind the back twice, leans, fades, fires, it's up and good!
But most of the time he makes these incredible plays and he's just fearless.
Maybe the greatest dynasty of all time.
It's kind of weird saying prove a lot of people wrong knowing what we've accomplished, but
this Warrior team is on cruise control.
JT the Brick.
If you ever believe in the Warriors, tonight is the night.
A Clay trade!
They're going nowhere as long as that dynasty is together.
The one-time darlings are now a dynasty. The Golden State Warriors have won back-to-back NBA championships.
Because I'll stay consistent with what I said. That was the NBA Finals. It's over. I don't think that they have to worry about Milwaukee. I don't think they have to worry about Portland. If I'm wrong, you know where to find me. The Warriors have better talent, and they're just clutch. I've never seen anything like it.
And now, here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, JT with you. Hour number two of the show. Busy first hour. Had a lot of business we had to attend to. Dr. Mike Crivetti in studio. Our new partner at The Legacy, Mike Magnera, the GM of The Legacy Golf Club here in town. We're going to be doing a lot with them. And my good buddy Brady Cannon, who's got Jason Day to win the PGA Championship. I'm going with Ricky Fowler. That's the rest of my week. Also, we'll tie it in for Coaches versus Cancer. I'm off early next week. I'll be a part of the MC committee as Lon Kruger's in town. And we are going to raise over $1 million net for the American Cancer Society. This is a big deal. We'll be at Shadow Creek. We'll be at Southern Highlands. We'll be telling victory stories about people who are battling cancer. Great stories. I'm proud to be involved. Again, I think this is my fifth or sixth year, Coaches versus Cancer, and I wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't for Lon Kruger, the team of X's and O's, a success, and there's a lot happening, including Steph McKenzie involved with it this year. You look fabulous.
Thank you.
You have a corporate event going on for the next 7 nights?
Yeah, we have lots of things going on, and of course, I just wanted to say for Coaches versus Cancer, here's a story for you, because you know things always happen at weird times. My sorority sister, who's my baby sister, everyone has them if you aren't fraternal. So she's little, I was a big, blah, blah, blah. She had a double mastectomy this week at 41. Found cancer. Her lymph nodes came back. There's no cancer there, which is a good thing. So she decided just to get rid of everything, and then she'll have new boobies in the future. But, you know, you never know where it's going to happen or when it's going to happen. I've been dealing with the American Cancer Society, Coaches versus Cancer, and all of the events that go on in this city for the past 18 years with the American Cancer Society, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
You have a big platform on the radio, and you get a chance to have a lot of people in studio and talk about these events. Some, I sense with you, everyone counts as much. Some are bigger. They're bigger events, bigger galas and all that. How do you choose between which ones you're going to get involved with? I'm sure a lot of people are coming at you from all angles.
Well, I think, you know, I've been blessed to be able to been a part of almost everything in this town, and I always try it once to see where it's going and what it's doing, and if I can't do it, I get them in touch with the right people that can make it bigger. Hence yourself, people like yourself, or Beth Fisher has done a lot with me in the past. Lauren Bond, afternoons on 97.1 The Point, she does a lot with the Animal Foundation, so she takes over the animal charities and rocks them really well. So, yeah.
Let's get to the Raiders, your passion. Car is safe. Okay, so we were talking about this 2 weeks ago. What if Carr, could anything happen to Carr? And what was I saying?
No, Carr is up.
I go, Carr is fine. Carr is the quarterback. Gruden, if anybody's paying attention, Gruden said 10 times that Carr is his quarterback. But going into the night of the draft, people were wondering if the Raiders wanted Kyler Murray.
Oh, you're getting me fired up. Okay, so here we are, right? I said, you have to ask me about this. All of a sudden, everyone loves Carr, right? I'm not even looking at you. I'm just going to ask you this question. When we were talking about it pre-draft, even before when we started talking about this stuff, did I always tell you if they get rid of Carr, I'm going to be sad, but I love him, and I never lost a faith, right?
You never lost a faith. He's your quarterback, and the key was, I always think of when you launch a team in a market, so the Raiders are coming here, that I thought that Khalil Mack would be on the side of the stadium with Amari Cooper, and there'd be a big banner of Carr, and then Mack was traded, then Cooper was traded, and everybody wondered about Carr. Is Gruden going to do a complete relaunch? And it was a fair topic because if Gruden and Carr did not hit it off, plus it was a complete rebuild going on, why do you need a franchise quarterback if you're going to rebuild? Just get a younger one. But Carr's proven that he could work with Gruden, and I think Gruden understands he can't get anyone better, and he's a leader.
Well, and I also think you hit the nail on the head right there as a leader. The Raiders really need to keep it together with a leader. Not everybody all over the you know, board. Like, hey, I'm a superstar. We get it. We get you're a superstar. We get it. But you also need somebody to bring all the superstars together. Like, we'll throw it to you. You gotta block me, dude. You know, and people respect him.
And Antonio Brown comes in with a really big ego. Right. Okay, I'm being really careful the way I was on the Las Vegas Review Journal podcast with Heidi Fang and Michael Gelkin, and they were asking me about Carr. And I said, well, this is the year that Carr has got to manage not only the team but some egos. Antonio Brown's coming in. He's on social media every day, 50 times a day. Carr is on social media lightly. Carr got hammered on social media by the media in this offseason. Max Kellerman, Stephen A. on their show, they tried to engage Carr. I just want Carr to calm everything down because Gruden's not playing here. Gruden's not going to let everybody go back to their locker and get a 10-minute social media break and start fighting amongst each other. He won't go for that.
No, and I like that. I think he's the man to bring it in. He also, like, you're exactly right. Everybody went after him on social media.
They did.
And when that first happened, I was like, oh, I hope he comes out swinging. And he took it really well. He was like, you know, I don't know really. He was kind of like, I don't really know what you're talking about. I get it, but I'm a good person. That they can do what they got to do, but we got to focus. It was always about the Raiders. If you go back and look at his tweets, we got to focus about the Raiders.
Yeah.
Or, you know, he goes back to the Bible or God, whether you like that or don't like that. That's his thing. And he's made that his thing.
I don't mind. Steph McKenzie joins us in studio. She does it every Wednesday, every other Wednesday when her schedule permits,
I
love. I don't mind when people talk about their faith. I do on the radio. I don't do it on Twitter, though. I don't do it on social media and on Facebook. My son just had his confirmation, and I wasn't tweeting out pictures from church and all that. But there are players like Tim Tebow.
Yeah, I love Tim.
Right? Derek Carr. There are some guys, some people call them God Squad. They do it. Who is anybody to say? Now, if they start talking about religious issues that go into political issues and then start a conversation outside their sport, I think some people get uncomfortable with that.
Well, and I also think if they're throwing it at you, to you. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean? Say
Tebow
who you are.
Tebow was accused of a lot of that early on.
And he never really did that either. I liked him. And you know what he's done? He has grown. I don't know if you know this with Canyon Ridge. He does the special needs prom throughout the whole United States. And so he's taken his platform and his voice and done a really good thing within the churches that are all Christian based. So I like that. And they're not speaking to you. They're not like, oh, if you're not into God, you lose and blah, you know.
I can't believe some of the responses on social media when people talk about their faith. Then you look at the comments and people, you know, you can't put anything out on social media without expecting people to comment on it, right?
And you expect that, right? I'm sure you've had people come after you. We should do that one time. Have you ever seen Jimmy Kimmel's tweets that he
mean
has?
Mean tweets? Yes, I have.
Love
I have seen
segment.
The mean. I have seen the mean tweets
and
over
I'm
the years.
I'm always like, bring it on.
Seen that over the years. Hey, I want to get into one thing. I saw you were talking and I was listening on your show, Las Vegas. Vegas just had a birthday.
Yeah, today.
Explain that. You had a lot going on with your show. What was that about?
Today we decided that we were going to give Las Vegas a big happy birthday. So who do you wish happy birthday to in Las Vegas? Do you wish you? Do you go to the Vegas sign? But more importantly, what's your favorite Vegas memory? What's yours?
Wow, the biggest night of my life, the whole reason, the night I met my wife, walking into the Rolling Stones at the Hard Rock Center Bar. There will never be a bigger arc night. I don't know if you believe in fate or not. But if I didn't go to that show that night, if I didn't go into that concert, there's no way. If I didn't go to that center bar with my buddies to get one more shot before we went in, there was no way I was going to beat my wife, who was by herself because she won a ticket that was pulled out of a lottery.
So her friends left her?
No, she had to. She only won one ticket.
Oh.
It was one of those nights.
She had to go there.
She had to go there to get her ticket, and she was there. And she did have a friend who met up with her later that night. But I believe in fate and where you are at the right time. I wouldn't have bumped into her at the grocery store or the gas station. So that's my moment in Vegas, plus all the other great times that we've had in this town. But I'd have to pick that.
Well, I would say my favorite memory of Las Vegas is the Circus, because I moved here in 1983. three.
The Circus Circus?
The original Circus Circus. Because the buffet used to be the best in town when we moved here. And you know, the other thing that was good was the Frontier Gourmet Room, their steakhouse.
Right.
Oh, it was so awesome. A little mob ties to family members removed, why we first moved here. So I don't know that I've ever said that out loud. Is that okay to say aloud? Am I going to get in trouble?
Well, everything's Vegas Mafia removed a generation or X amount of years.
My stepdad was 20 years older from my mom, so I'm not making that story up. So there was some things that were going on of why we came to Vegas.
But what about Circus Circus? What drew you there? The buffet?
Well, they took us there all the time. The buffet was always good. Family came into town, and they would let us play in the arcade. And have you ever been up there?
I have. My kids, when they were going there.
That was always the best. And I think that you and I have the best. So we turned the question around after, what was your favorite memory or what do you remember about Vegas? What is it that you love now? And, of course, we have to have the same answer.
Well, the Raiders coming is the best. But the Golden Knights, and again, the Raiders are coming. I tell everybody, pump the brakes. It's a year. JT, it's got to be. Stop. They're not here. It's going to be a year from now. The Golden Knights, to me, have been one of the most rewarding experiences just from a fan perspective and what those games mean to me. When I'm lucky enough to get dropped off into that plaza, get my credential, walk through the park there and see that type of energy. Steph, I never imagined that happening in this town.
I never did either. It's beyond words sometimes when you sit back and really think about it. And, of course, I go from a Raiders then to a Vegas Golden Knights because I like hockey, but, of course, I love the Raiders. And not just saying that, but I'm excited. I am. You will never, ever get me out of this town. You know where I'm going to be? I will never leave this town. When I die, I want to be cremated. I want my ashes spread over the, I'll say Coliseum because it's still the Coliseum. I've said that. I wanted to get married at the Coliseum. I want my ashes spread at the Coliseum. I've always said that.
One big thing about spreading your ashes, I don't want to get morbid here. As we're talking to Steph McKenzie, if you want to jump in and join us, 876-1340. My mentor who passed away had ashes, and he wanted a few of the ashes, some of it, like an eighth of it, to be spread out onto Lambeau Field.
So I love
that. The crew found a way in the pocket to get on the field after the game. A lot of teams don't like that when they hear about it. Yankee Stadium, Soldier Field, Lambeau Field. Organizations get really uptight about that because they don't want everybody trying to do that afterwards.
Right.
You're going to have no problem. You'd have them open up the lanai windows and just blow it through there.
I want them spreading the eternal flame. I want to go with Al. We did that in Dallas. My girlfriend's husband passed away, and that was one of his wishes. So we took some of his ashes down there. And, you know, we already know about the stadiums. We already know you can't do that. And, you know, the river that runs down there? So we took it, and we just spread them down. They went down into the river.
Nice story. Speaking of Dallas, Vinnie Paul just passed away. I went to his concert tribute the other night. Dennis Huff was the MC of it. And Dennis is on the across the hall, too. I couldn't believe what a great job he did because he was emotional. Because he was friends with Vinny.
He was really good friends with
him. Really tight with Vinny. Vinny Paul, the drummer from Pantera, hell yeah. Had a really big footprint in this town for sports. He showed up everywhere.
Everywhere.
Johnny Katz was there. We were talking about it. He said he'd show up at small bars, dive bars, big events, and there would be Vinny Paul. And Dennis emceed that event, and it was a really good night. The music was really aggressive, really over the top, and that's the music that Vinny played and Vinny loved. But it was great to see one of the guys in our family, Dennis, go there and knock it out of the park.
And especially we're seeing a lot of everybody move up into the scene. Music, sports, everybody really stepping up their game, and I love to see that here in Vegas.
No doubt about it. So you got the Raider license plate, right?
Yes.
Were you the first on the list to do that? The Raider Foundation,
well,
we're doing a lot.
I don't know if I'm the first.
Well, you're one of them. You saw that coming. You were going to get the Raider license plate no matter what.
I got the vanity plate, and I knew then the plate was coming, so yes, right away.
And you're totally cool. You love it.
I love it. This is my thing. And it's funny you bring that up because yesterday I was saying, I know you're excited about the Vegas Golden Knights, and we've talked about this, and we've talked about everybody being excited, and I get it. I know it's Vegas born, and I love them too. I mean, you know, I'm not saying that, but I'm really excited about the Raiders, and I said, I can't wait till everybody's talking about the Raiders.
It's starting. We're going to have the mayor on next week. I reached out to the mayor's office, and they're going to come back and join us about the success that this town is having now with sports. And everybody's talking about professional sports and the infrastructure of the stadium. Everybody's talking about Fertitta Field with UNLV. It seems
how beautiful is that?
Fantastic.
Wow.
Not too long ago, I got a great, one of my best friend's son is one of the new recruits on UNLV. So we've been down there. We went to the spring game. I'm really excited about that. And you talk about UNLV on your show all the time.
Oh, yeah. And we bring Sanchez in before the beginning of the season. And I saw him take a tour on, I think it was Fox 5.
Yeah.
He took everybody through that tour. And it's, you know, how did you not get excited watching that? Like, yes, we're going to get some good recruits, right?
Yeah, I would think that's a really big topic that not enough people are talking about. The elephant in the room is Tony Sanchez has to win to keep his job.
Absolutely.
I'm great with that. And I don't know why anybody else would. But if for whatever reason he doesn't become bowl eligible, but he has better and better players and they're close and they lost a game by a fluke or something didn't happen, a bad bounce, why not bring him back because of the buildings that are being built because of him and the connection to the Fatitas, the recruits that are coming in? I talk to a lot of people in town about this topic, and they're pulling for Tony to get it done this year. They want to see him build and take that next step. But in sports, you're a diehard sports fan. You got to win.
You have to win. I mean, there's two sides you're going to say to that, right? You don't want to see Sanchez go away if you've been here for a long time, because he did a great, great thing for Gorman. I mean, they're winning and winning and winning, and he set it into motion, and he's got great people that are still there, and they're still following his footprints, and that's amazing. And you know what? He tries. He's not giving up at UNLV. We've seen some other coaches come, and, you know, they kind of lose it a little bit after they get into it. It can be frustrating. It's like anything else. I hope he wins. I hope it pulls ahead. I hope they give him enough chance that he can do this.
This is a big year for UNLV football also, because everybody's excited about the new stadium, right? We had John Cesenti in the other day from the Las Vegas Bowl. And when you think of everything that goes on at Sam Boyd, you'll go out to Sam Boyd and you'll support the Rebels, but the numbers are down, obviously, and people aren't motivated. How many times are there Saturdays where people say, I was planning on going to the game, but for whatever reason, something came up? That won't happen at the new stadium.
No, and
people are going to go see them at the new stadium because they can't get tickets, maybe, and get to the Raider game. They're going to want to see the vision of that football stadium.
Well, and everybody also wants to jump on the city and be angry and be mean. Oh, we don't have infrastructure. You got to remember, let's take it way back on our birthday day. Let's take it way back. They weren't looking at all that. They were looking at gaming, okay?
Yeah.
Because I'm a University of Wyoming graduate, okay? So we went to every game no matter what it was. And it was right there. That's why.
So you went to all the games. You had to.
Basketball games. Because it was right there. It didn't matter if it was 30 below zero. The walk was 30 seconds. That's the problem that you have with people going out to Sam Boyd.
When I grew up as a kid in Long Island, New York, and we would go to Yankee games or Knicks games, it was such a big deal with my dad because of the trip. I'll never forget, because Yankee Stadium wasn't close. You had to go over bridges. You had to get off Long Island to get to it. You thought about it. It was going to take an hour and 15 minutes to an hour and a half to get there if there wasn't no traffic. So the journey was the big part of it. And to go to see the Knicks at the Garden, we have to take the train. So we take the train, the railroad that would go right in. So I remember those moments with my dad on the ride, and then the ride home, because it would always be late when you're a little kid.
Right.
And dad would be driving out of the Bronx to get on the bridge to head home. And I remember those moments. We have it too easy now. My sons go in Ubers to games now. The Uber pulls up, and my buddy, yeah, we're getting an Uber. We're going to the Knights game. What are you talking about? You know, we have it easy. People who are complaining about, what's the parking going to be like at a Raider game? Get over it. You're going to have the greatest stadium in all of football. Plan ahead. Dropped off. Walk over this. If you don't get a parking spot, if you don't have a VIP pass, you'll figure it out.
Everyone's like, oh, I like the stadium up until the parking. You know what? Get in where you fit in. If you're not coming with me, I'm Ubering. That's what I tell everyone. I mean, really, what are we complaining about?
A lot of people complain about sports because it's easier to stay at home and watch it on TV.
Absolutely. I understand.
So it's very easy. Tonight in Milwaukee, you mentioned Wyoming. Tonight in Milwaukee, with this game coming up here, it's the biggest thing in town. No one's complaining in Milwaukee. Everybody's like, I can't believe it. I can go to a game, a basketball game, an Eastern Conference final. But in the bigger markets like L.A., I got buddies that live 40 minutes away from Staples Center, and it takes 2.5 hours with traffic
to get
up there
though?
For a 7 o'clock game.
I don't think I would.
See, I think the problem is you migrate from east to west, we have it easy, we've been spoiled, it wasn't big. Your story is amazing, right? It was a journey, it was a big deal. I remember growing up in North Dakota. I moved out here when I was 12, and up until that point, we traveled into Canada, Montana, South Dakota. We got up at 4 in the morning to watch, not us, our friend's son play hockey.
Hockey's different. That's really hardcore.
Our friend's daughter ice skate. We traveled.
That's serious travel.
We don't do that here.
No, here we have it very easy. So
if you're in baseball, you're in California, Arizona.
Is this fair to say? We have it so easy here, and we're so new as a pro town with the Golden Knights and the Raiders coming, that if you do complain, your complaining really stands out. Like I'm going through this stage of my life now with sports, watching on TV, the commentators, the debate shows, other radio shows. I cannot believe how many people complain about sports. Like, what a pain in the ass it is to get to the game. How much is this? How much is that? It used to just be you went and you were so passionate for your team. Now, because of our phones, social media, and the ability to watch everything at any time on a tablet, we're getting so comfortable and lazy that we have excuses not to go to games.
We have excuses not to go to games. I think people are, I think unfortunately what you see through Facebook and Twitter and Instagram or your friends talking, and maybe we're too close to the fire in this building, but not everybody gets to go to the game. Do you know that there are people that still have not been to a Vegas Golden Knights game?
Absolutely.
And you know why? Because they're just working. They're saving up their money. It is expensive. I mean, let's not put that aside.
No doubt it's expensive.
But you don't need to go to every game. And guess what? If your friends aren't good for them, it doesn't make your life any better or any less.
I love fans who get a chance to go to games and show up. And it ties back into UNLV football and basketball. There are plenty of tickets.
And they're
plenty
inexpensive.
Plenty of tickets. And they're inexpensive and they're easy to get. And it's easy to get to those places. And people now are using it as an excuse not to go when these teams that are struggling need fan support, you would agree, more than ever.
Well, let's point out this fact, too. How many people never would go to Cashman, and now they are so pissed they can't get into the
you
Aviators
got me.
Game.
You got me. How'd you nail me? You exposed me.
Oh, my God.
I
are
love
you
the
kidding
aviators.
Me?
I love the Aviators.
I love the Aviators, but guess what? I'm not like, you can't get a ticket.
It's a tough ticket.
But you could have got a ticket last year.
Could have had an easier time getting to Cashman Field to see him last year than now. One
so
last
suck
thing.
It up, Buttercup, and you wait. Just keep clicking on Ticketmaster. You'll be fine.
One last thing we wanted to mention. With the Wynn and Encore rolling back free parking now, and others haven't yet.
Awesome.
You've been talking about that. What do you think in general? What are listeners saying on your show?
Well, at first, remember, let's even back it up a little bit. Because remember when it first came out, they said you had to spend the $50 to get the free parking or
right.
the valet and all that. And now it's completely wiped. They went back and redid all that. So I'm pretty impressed. I love it. You have to bring some of this back to the locals.
Yes.
You live here. I don't care where you live in this town. I've lived in every area of this town, and everybody matters. We all need to support our town on some level or another. We go to schools, private, charter. We have Vegas Golden Knights here, and the casinos need to recognize that a little
what
bit more.
What was the craziest part of town you lived in? Bobby just stood up. Bobby, he stood up out of his seat.
Oh, my gosh, I have so many stories. One of my favorite, though, I'll tell you from way back. I used to live in the townhomes. We moved here across from Chaparral. It was a better neighborhood. It's a bit sketchy now. I love you guys over there, but it is. And Liberace was our neighbor.
Did you see him?
Yes, and his whole townhome was all stained glass.
Did you see the signs that are on the road now for this Jerry Lewis auction?
Yeah. And there's a young lady
that's
that
real?
Was playing.
Jerry
yes.
Lewis? Why isn't that an auction where I can go in and look at his items?
Yeah.
Jerry bleeping Lewis?
He loved Vegas.
Yeah.
This is town.
Wouldn't you think that wouldn't be available? By the family and friends or someone like Seinfeld?
They need
would come
the money.
In and buy it all up? Yeah.
It's all about money. You know, we just said that.
Yeah, it is all about the money.
Right?
Last thing, you got Coaches versus Cancer. We're a part of that. What else you got coming up here over the next week? What are you doing?
I got my birthday coming up, but I hope I'm on with you guys sooner than later. May 31st. Not that anyone's counting, Ed. I celebrate the whole month of May.
Oh, I have friends. I got a guy friend. I have a guy friend that has birthday month,
which is a
really girl thing. Yeah, we all
remember
him because he
guy
has birthday month,
that.
April. I think it's April 18th, and he wants everyone to go on trips with him, golf trips, pay for all his dinners. dead serious the whole month. He calls
it birthday
month.
He wants you to pay for everything?
Oh, everything. The whole month of his birthday.
Excessive.
It's kind of excessive here, but he's had us all roped in doing this for years.
We need to call him.
It gets us all going to celebrate.
Well, we got that, and we have graduations coming up. We have friends that have kids graduating. We got that stuff coming up, Coaches versus Cancer. I hope to see you at Topgolf, because I won't see you on Sunday, right?
Yes, Sunday my son is graduating, and they have the walk at the Thomas and Mack, so we're excited about that. We're having our first graduation party here in Vegas with the family coming to town, which is going to be
interesting. He's a classic man now. His son is graduating.
Well, he's 17,
Oh, my kids graduated from kindergarten on Monday.
When I was a senior in high school, I remember weeks before I graduated running to the mailbox to see if I was getting letters home from school and picking them off so my dad wouldn't see it.
And now it's all done, what, on their phones?
And now my son, everything's done on computer, and I'm lucky that I have a son who did not behave the way I did. Thanks for coming in.
Where is he going? Where is he going to school?
He's going to the University of Oklahoma.
Wow.
Yeah, we're excited about that. No, we went on a bunch of school trips. We went to about four or five schools and some really good schools, and that was the best fit. He loved it. We got a chance to connect with our friend Lon Kruger through Coaches vs. Cancer, see a side of that campus, and we're going to be those parents that go there with the Boomer Sooner and fly in for games and have some fun. It's going to be exciting.
These poor kids, they hate us. They hate us as parents. This is how it went down. How far can I get from my parents? Yeah. And then the parents are like, oh my God, we're going to come see you. And they're like, oh, hell.
An hour and 50 minutes by plane, which isn't that bad.
Right. He's screwed. He tried to get away from you, dude.
He did. And he's going to get away from me. I need a break. I need this break now. And by this time next year, think about next year with the stadium opening. Raiders preseason coming around the corner and all of that. For him to fly back in his sophomore year and be able to go to some Raider home games, it's going to be fun.
I love it.
Thanks for driving in and coming in with us. We appreciate it.
You guys rock.
We love having Steph McKenzie here. Check her out. Check out her show. What time is it again?
5 a.m. to 9 a.m.
Oh! 5 a.m. to
your
9 a.m.
at Disneyland tickets this week.
Oh, you're giving away tickets?
Yeah, and you know the big Star Wars is opening up.
Did you see the leaked picture of that?
Yes.
Oh, my God. They showed
it's
a
massive.
Leaked picture
Did you
of
see
the
it, Bobby?
Star Wars exhibit there. They had a drone take that. Is that insane?
It's awesome. It's so cool. And they're giving away tickets. It's going to rock. And you can win that and money and landscaping and all kinds of stuff with Fox
and
McKenzie.
Thanks for coming in, because we knew our big topic today was going to be you having the back of Carr. I'll make sure I send this to the Raiders.
Please
and it'll
do.
Get us the connection going with Carr, knowing that he has a big radio personality
Hello.
In town that supports him. Thanks a lot,
Thank
Steph.
You guys.
We appreciate it. When we come back, they're underway. They'll be underway. Kawhi is in Milwaukee. We'll get you an update on what's happening there. Also, the recap of last night with the Warriors and what they did to Portland. Some new Raider news. Who is the new player in this draft class that is turning heads so much the owner's talking about him? Keep it here. JT on the Las Vegas Sports Network.
I think everyone needs to slow down a little bit on the Kevin stuff. He hasn't even stepped on the floor yet. So, you know, we've tried to remain somewhat vague because the injury is really sort of open-ended in terms of how long he's going to need to recover. But I think in doing so, maybe people have gotten the idea that he's going to come back and, you know, be Willis Reed or something.
That is Steve Kerr, who I don't think has anything to worry about. Steve Kerr and the Warriors, I think that series is over before it started. I really do. JT, back with you. Thanks to Steph McKenzie, who just joined us. We appreciate her coming in every couple of weeks. She's going to do wonders for this town when the Raiders get here. She is a diehard Raider fan, and there's going to be a lot of content that she's going to be able to get her hands on and talk about. Can't wait for the Raiders to get here. They are tipping it off as we speak. Here we go, Toronto and Milwaukee. This game will go off. Milwaukee -6.5. Total on that game is 218. These first games in these series are really difficult to predict what's going to happen, because you don't know if another team is tanked and gassed from their last game. We saw that with Portland and what happened with them going through Denver. 7 games. They had that 4 overtime game. They went to game 7 down to the wire. They were down 17-1 on the road. They had nothing. They had nothing left in the tank for the Warriors game 1. For Toronto, they won on the Kawhi Leonard game-winning buzzer beater that bounced all around the rim. Was that their NBA Finals? Are they going to come out tonight with anything, or do they believe they don't have to win this game, they got to win game two? So it's tough. I think that Milwaukee is going to be a tough out tonight because of the way they dropped game one to Boston the first time around. I expect to see Milwaukee play at their best tonight. They're already up 2-0 on a Giannis floater in the middle there. 2-0 underway tonight in Milwaukee. And nice to see Milwaukee hosting the Eastern Conference Finals. Back to their days of Jabbar in their championship year. It's been a long road for Milwaukee, smaller market team, and now they're back, and they're going to be back for years to come. Q-Dog, thanks for waiting through. Steph, we appreciate you coming on. Go.
Hey, JT, I want to just congratulate you on your graduation, your son, from Bishop Gorman. I know it was a thing to get through. I want to say congratulations on that.
Thank
and
you.
I met Kareem in 68 when he was playing with the Bucks. That's a big memory for me. I used to be a server at Atlanta at the little game, so that's a big memory for me.
Well, meeting Kareem, and I had a chance to interview him a couple times when I lived in L.A. He's one of the most humble people, most confusing individuals, often debated. People look at Kareem in the arc of his life. He was the most famous high school basketball player, maybe of all time, even more famous than LeBron, coming out of New York City at power and then going to UCLA under John Wooden. I think when it's all said and done, Kareem will be one of the most talked about athletes of the last 200 years, right there with Ali, Babe Ruth, Tiger Woods. Kareem's on the Mount Rushmore.
Yes, that's very true. I just want to congratulate you on give one of your sons to high school. I'm sure he's going to be a fine individual just like
you. Thank
you.
Oh, I hope so. Appreciate it.
Thank you, JT.
Thank you. I just congratulate my wife. She was in charge of education. I was in charge of whatever. Yeah, my wife's a teacher, so you always have to give people credit for helping your kids get through school. School is not easy. Kids today have a lot of pressure on them to get out of high school. Was it different than our generation? I believe it is. A lot more pressure now, social media, everything that's happening today. So it's nice when you can get a son or a daughter or multiple kids through high school and send them out for the next chapter of their life. Giannis just had a coast-to-coast dunk. So Milwaukee's off to a pretty quick start, 6-3 on Toronto. And again, I don't know what Toronto's going to do tonight, but Kawhi Leonard got him to the Eastern Conference Finals. Toronto now with Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard has done something that I believe, and you look back at the players that they've had over the last couple of years, Vince Carter, who was phenomenal. This is the moment for Kawhi. If Kawhi can get him by the Greek Freak, the amount of money that he can get just to stay in Toronto, to be a global brand in Toronto would be enormous. But many people think he's on his way to L.A. to play with the Clippers or the Lakers. And people think it'll be the Clippers more because of the stability of the franchise and everything that's gone on with the Lakers as of late. For those who are ripping on the Lakers getting the fourth pick overall, Lakers could have got the 9th, 10th, or 11th. That is a positive for the Lakers. Anybody who spins it, well, it's only three great players in this draft. Give me a break. The fourth pick in the NBA draft is an asset. And it's another asset that the Lakers need to move to help LeBron James get Anthony Davis. And the Pelicans now can sit back and look at the Lakers and say, you tried to screw us the last time. We had to fire our GM, a good man, Del Demps, because Magic and LeBron and Rich Paul, LeBron's agent, tried to do some shenanigans, and we hurt our organization. Now they got David Griffin coming in. He's got the number one pick overall in Zion, and he's looking at the Lakers saying, hey, you can call us. We'll take your call. But we're not going through that crap we went through you last year. We want a better deal overall. Let's go to the game last night and what happened with Steph Curry. There was no Kevin Durant, and Curry was just exceptional again from three. I thought the coaching was poor for the Blazers because they couldn't figure out how to guard the pick and roll where Curry was coming off the pick and roll and knocking down wide open threes.
Curry takes a handoff from Klay Thompson. All is forgiven. He hits a three on the right sideline and gives Golden State a 17-point lead.
Without Durant, another debatable topic today, are the Warriors better without Durant? I couldn't believe I heard it, Bobby. I did. You hear it again. They're different without Durant. What they do without Durant is they pass it more. With Durant, at times, you only have to make one pass. to Durant, and he knocks down a bucket. So you don't have to touch it three times because Durant touches it second, and he scores. So they're going to be a different team. But they're fun to watch because Klay Thompson and Curry, they're the Splash Brothers. When they're on the same page, they're unbeatable.
Thompson gets it back off a screen by Looney and buried a fading jumper on the left side.
I think that Klay Thompson is going to go down in history, as a top five shooter in NBA history. Steph will be number one or number two. And then you'll look at percentages and who shot a high percentage. And Klay is going to fall in the top five. So when this dynasty is over, which it doesn't look like it's going to be over anytime soon, the Warriors will be able to go to the Hall of Fame in Springfield, Mass, and say that we have the two greatest, two of the top five or four greatest shooters to ever play in the league. That's why they have an advantage that we've never seen before in the NBA. Maybe going back to Jordan and Pippen. Jordan was the best player in the league. He was the alpha dog. And Scottie Pippen was probably the best two guy, the best Robin to Batman that we've seen in the modern era. Who was better than Scottie Pippen? Playing defense, offense, facilitating to Jordan, knowing his role with Jordan. He wasn't the same shooter as Klay Thompson was, but Pippen played defense better than Klay Thompson and was able to get to the front of the rim better than anybody else. So I put Klay and Steph right up there with Jordan and Pippen, and they're not even done yet. Al's in San Francisco. He listens on the Las Vegas Sports Network online. What's going on, Big Al?
Just kind of wrapping up the day here. Just getting ready. We have game two tomorrow in Oakland. That, we talk about Batman and Robbins. Portland's two didn't play all that terribly well yesterday. I expect their Batman and Robin to be far better tomorrow night. You're talking about Klay and Steph. They just bring, you have Jordan, who's obviously tremendous, best taste of basketball player ever, and Scottie Pippen, who did so many great things off the ball and then defensively. You take a look at the Warriors, and Steph doesn't necessarily get, in my mind, all the credit that he does deserve to get, because when he's on, he just does so many things on both ends of the floor, to be on the defensive end to be disruptive, and on the offensive line. And I mean, he'll do his own 9-0 push in a minute 17, and the game will be over. But Klay Thompson, I mean, he has to guard the best player on the other team every single night. He's like poetry in motion. He never stops moving. He's always gets in the guy's grill. And he'll give you, he averages, I think, 22 a game during the season, but he'll get you those, if he gets you 12 points, he's going to probably hold the other guy on the other side to less than 12.
Let me jump in because the Blazers in the last game had three total made threes by Lillard and McCollum combined. And they were 3 of 10 total, and the Warriors, just Steph and Klay, made 12 threes. Am I crazy to say the only thing that the Trailblazers have going for them, their elite status, is their backcourt? If their backcourt is going to play 38 and 37 minutes, McCollum and Lillard, individually, and they're going to get a total of three made threes, every game's going to be a blowout. These guys got to make 8 to 9 to 10 threes. I don't care how many they take. They got to at least make 10 of them for 30 points, because the Warriors are going to do that blindfolded.
Yeah, you're probably right on that. There was one point in the game yesterday where the Warrior backcourt had outscored, the Warrior starting backcourt outscored their backcourt 62 to, I think it was 36. That might have even been at the final. I'm not even sure. But if Portland's going to win the series, it's going to come out of their backcourt. But their backcourt, everybody is just running at both of those guys now. Defensively, the key to stopping Portland is you run at Damon, you make him give up the ball. And then, CJ beats you on the mid-range, which is so different than what we see around the league, because nobody wants to shoot mid-range anymore. And CJ McCollum just kills you from the mid-range. Yeah. They didn't do it yesterday. If they don't get on track tomorrow, then they're going to have to win 4 or 5. They're not going to win 4 or 5.
Thank you, Al. Appreciate you listening online. Thanks for the call from San Francisco. Remember, we take calls from all over. We want to get them from Vegas. 876-1340 is the number. He goes to games, and he just nailed it. I said it in the Houston series. You can't beat the Warriors if you go down 0-2. You can't. You can't beat them 4 out of 5. You have to get the split at home. You got to get game one or game two. And now all of it goes into game two for this team. So now the Warriors opened up a 7.5-point favorite in game two at home. The total on that game is 218, the same as the total on the Toronto-Milwaukee game tonight. Wouldn't you throw a little bit of money on Portland? I had a buddy yesterday that was all in on Portland on the money line to win game one outright. I didn't like that bet. I like it in game two. And I loved Houston on the money line in game two against the Warriors in the first round, and that wouldn't pay off. So the Warriors know that you want to bet against them. They know that you think they're going to have a bad game. They like to bring you in saying, yeah, go ahead, bet against us. Think we're going to have a bad game. We're going to have a letdown. We don't have Durant. We don't have Boogie Cousins. No, they just bury you. Is it lack of competition for the Warriors dynasty, or are they that good? 876-1340. Think of that. Because, Bobby, you're shaking your head saying lack of competition. I don't know if that's fair because I don't think Michael Jordan had some great competition in the East. He had the Knicks, you know, some good teams there, the Celtics, Detroit, the Bad Boys. He couldn't get by them. But then when Jordan got to the NBA Finals, Seattle, Phoenix with Barkley, Utah with Stockton and Malone, great players, but those teams weren't great teams. They didn't have tremendous depth. So I thought it was Jordan. All the work for Jordan was in the Eastern Conference to get to the NBA Finals. Starting to see that with the Warriors for quite some time, but the Warriors lost to Cleveland and LeBron James. Some people I talk to think that the Warriors could lose to Milwaukee. Milwaukee is the home team, and maybe Milwaukee, being the home team against the Warriors, could get it done. Milwaukee was up 8-2 or 8-4. Now Toronto's up 16-8. I just looked up. What a run by Toronto. Up 16-8 with about 6 minutes and 20 seconds to go in the first quarter. Game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. Raise your hand and beep your horn if I told you in the preseason the Eastern Conference Final would be Toronto-Milwaukee. Some people were wondering about Philadelphia, but everybody I talked to had Boston. Everybody had Boston playing in this series, and Boston might be back to the drawing board. When we come back, we'll nightcap it up, we'll wrap it up, and we'll get you going. You could go to the greatest happy hour in town right now. PT's is open, waiting for you. Great food and drink specials, great free play, great sports, and a great place to go because it's convenient. From 5 to 7, midnight to 2. And baseball, Yankees looking to sweep a doubleheader against the Orioles. We'll give you an update on the scoreboard on the Las Vegas Sports Network next.
Well, folks, time to call the night.
Drink up, the world's about to end.
Time now for the nightcap.
Well, last orders, please.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. So till next time.
Good night, everybody.
With the look ahead to tonight's action, here's JT the Brick.
Well, the action is in progress as Toronto's up on Milwaukee. We'll get you a scoreboard update. The NBA draft lottery was last night. The biggest event in sports is tomorrow. It's a major golf championship, the PGA Championship. So that is tomorrow. That's the big day. Tee times are up at all major websites, and this is huge. Tiger Woods decided not to go out and play today, which I think is a big deal, that he didn't go out today and at least get 9 holes in. The weather was good. He decided to pass on it. He wanted to rest instead of get some practice. People are wondering if that is a red flag, and I think it's a fair debate. Why did Tiger Woods not go out today and play 9 holes? The back nine, the whole course was waiting for him to come, and he didn't do that. I don't think he's hiding an injury, but I don't know what the issue is. Tiger Woods will go off 10-1 to win the PGA Championship along with Brooks Koepka. Dustin Johnson at 11-1, Roy McIlroy 12-1. Ricky Fowler, who I'm picking to win, at 16-1. I think that if you look at the Bombers who are playing, John Rahm, this is just such a tough golf course, and Rahm hasn't played it enough, I think, to be that good. I think good value at 18-1. Brady Cannon, who joined us earlier in the show, he's picking Jason Day at 22-1. There is another name that I like. Everyone's asking, what about a long shot? Do you like a long shot in this? Patrick Reed, who's won on this course, is 70-1. That's a good name. Also, Kevin Kisner is 100-1. He's been playing really good golf the last couple of years. And Sergio Garcia, who used to get booed in New York and mocked in New York, he's at 40-1. And I think he's the type of player who can come out and do something special. John Daly's getting a lot of news because he's on a golf cart. He got an exemption to take it. He's saying it's a disadvantage because he's having a difficult time driving it because of all the hills. He went out for 9 holes and had a difficult time doing this. Tiger was asked about John Daly, his longtime friend, about him being in a cart.
As far as JD taking a cart, well, I walked with a broken leg, so.
So the PGA of America has come under a lot of criticism for giving Daly access to the cart for medical reasons. The PGA American and Disabilities Act Committee gave Daly an exemption because of arthritis in his knee. It would prevent him from walking the course and playing. I think that's a really important debate in golf. If you can't walk, can you play? Well, if you want to play socially, yeah, you have something called the golf cart. But if you're a professional and everybody else is walking, you just can't play. I can't believe he was able to do this. But Tiger did play on a broken leg. I was there. I was there when Tiger won that major at Torrey Pines. And it was remarkable to see him hit driver, get down on his knee and wince what turned out to be a broken bone in his leg and continue to play and end up winning in a playoff. So Tiger decided today to rest. He says it's better then practice, and we'll see what happens. I just hope he's at 100% going into this. That'll be a huge event coming up. We got big shows the rest of the week. We'll be talking about the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame. Tomorrow we'll have Eric Winalda in studio, and the head coach of the Lights will come in. We'll talk to him about not just soccer locally in town. He's a big, big soccer name. He's played all over the world. He's really sharp. He can talk about what's happening globally with soccer, with the United States, the Premier League, Lionel Messi, all of that. That'll be a fun conversation I'm looking forward to having tomorrow. Thanks to everybody who came in. Steph McKenzie was great. Brady Cannon checked in. Our new sponsor from the Legacy Golf Club, Mike Magnera, appreciate his time, and Dr. Crivetti, who came in. iCanAgain.com is the website to see what Crivetti Orthopedics can do for you. And believe me, I've seen the results, and I know what Dr. Crivetti can do. We appreciate his time and his ability to come into studio today. Bobby, thank you as always. Toronto 30, Milwaukee 18. Wow. Toronto exploded here, being down early in the first quarter. Got some good basketball on tonight, and we'll preview Warriors tomorrow, game 2 against Portland.